It is nearly time. Tech geeks are geeking out because a new Apple iPhone is on the way. There's been leaks, there's been rumours, the home button's going, you'll use face recognition, not a fingerprint, to get into it, and it'll almost certainly cost a lot. That perhaps is one reason. There is speculation it will lift Apple shares in the US to a market valuation of $1 trillion. I'm not sure if I should be excited or worried. Also, when we're talking tech, these Tesla cars rebooted remotely in the middle of Hurricane Irma to give me more range. I'm not sure what that means. Claire Riley is here to talk us through it all. She is the senior editor at CNET. Claire, welcome to this chat on RN Drive.
Thank you for having me, Raf. It's great to be here.
How excited do people get about Apple iPhones and why?
Okay, so in tech world this week, everyone's sort of, it's like prom week, I guess, for the tech scene. And, you know, us nerds don't get that kind of thing very often. So everyone's very excited. Everyone's getting out their, you know, muesli bars and Powerade and, you know, prepping for like a long day tomorrow. But it's also exciting because I guess even though in Australia, iPhone is probably on par with Android devices, and it's pretty fairly mixed. It really was a game changer when the iPhone was launched 10 years ago, and this is the 10th anniversary edition that we're seeing launch tomorrow.
Why aren't Apple troubled by the fact that they can never produce something that is that revolutionary, yet that doesn't matter? I mean, they're sort of their smaller step changes, that doesn't diminish the excitement.
I tell you why they're not too worried, and the main reason is shaped like a dollar sign, because they are making crazy amounts of money from the iPhone. It's still their biggest seller. They did have a drop in revenues for the first time last year, but this is the world's richest company selling a device that is in the pocket of most people around the world that are looking for, you know, a really high-end device. So when I say most people, it's really big in the US because obviously it's a US company. And speaking to my US colleagues over there who'll be at the launch tomorrow, they don't, you know, other devices don't really rank as high as Apple because it's the homegrown hero. So I think that while we see a bit of a mix of devices, you know, around the world, iPhone was really the game changer because before that we were using Blackberries, we were using flip phones, and this was the one that changed it all.
And those rumors, facial recognition, getting rid of the home button, take me through what you think will be in the new phone.
Right. So we've actually seen, we've got some very clever coders who went through and they saw some leaked code.
Is that leaked in quote marks?
Yeah. That's the speculation. Yep. People in Silicon Valley were wondering whether it was deliberate. But earlier in the year, we saw Apple has a smart home device coming later this year, and there was some sort of a firmware update that was accidentally pushed out, and we saw a whole bunch of code being released because obviously these devices will talk to each other. So in that code, we found out things like no home button, a really big screen, so you know it kind of wraps around where you might see a speaker at the top of the screen. We're expecting things like an OLED display. So an OLED display is what you're seeing in really high-end TVs at the moment, capable of being really thin, so hopefully that'll bring the profile of the phone down. But it's just a really beautiful display technology. Our reviewers rank it as the top in the world right now. So
better even than the Samsung, because they've got some lots of snazzy stuff and picture to the end of the to the edges of the screen and
everything. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing with TVs is OLED is beautiful in terms of picture quality, but then you've got other brands who are really pushing the line with the way that might be framed or the features on a TV. So it's all kind of part. It's, you know, you'll get different things on different devices. But in terms of pure color recreation and blacks, you'll see that in an OLED display.
Blacker
so hopefully blacks, brighter brights.
How much are my blacks going to cost?
Oh, they're going to cost you so much money. We have seen with the, so the other flagship phone of this year was, of course, the Samsung Galaxy Note 8. And that was, whilst it was playing it a little bit safe for Samsung after a pretty troublesome year last year with the exploding Note 7 phones, it is an amazing device, very glossy, very beautiful, high-end with all the techs and specs sort of thing. And that comes in at $1,500 in Australia, $1,500 So we're expecting that the top of the line iPhone to be launched tomorrow is going to come in for potentially $1,000 US. Now, a direct translation, that's going to cost you about $1,250, I think it is, in terms of Australian dollars. But as we know, with the Australia tax and the way companies like to price things, it's never dollar for dollar. So we're expecting that the iPhone could potentially climb up to that $1,500 mark. And if their main rival, the Note 8, is going for $1,500, then they might try and price around there. So it will cost you a pretty penny.
And it doesn't matter who you pay, the tax isn't coming back to Australia. But that's a discussion for another day. Look, after the news, we are going to be talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Irma in the Caribbean. But before we get there, some of the Tesla drivers who were fleeing the storm in the States, they were given a free upgrade remotely to their cars. Mm. I want to know how it works. And is it kind of dodgy? Doesn't it mean I've bought a car that I'm not using at full capacity?
Well, that's the really interesting thing, because Tesla did the right thing, I guess, by saying we will increase your range so that you can be in a safe situation if you're trying to flee Irma. But they sort of inadvertently said, oh, by the way, yes, we produce three types of the same car with the Model S series, and some of them... I guess I don't want to use the word hobbled, but deliberately lessened so that there is a premium model, because it's more expensive to create three different kinds of cars. They're simplifying the production line and they're producing one kind of car that then has different feature sets. But this sounds weird if we think of the old model of cars, but if we think about new smart cars being largely driven by software, then that makes sense. So you've got the software features. I guess it's the same as an iPhone, really. You've got a faster processor maybe, but in this case, it's just software that is enabling more features for the driver.
And so I'm not being ripped off? They haven't sort of undersold or undergiven me what I purchased?
Yeah, I didn't say I weren't getting necessarily ripped off. I find, I was chatting to someone about this last night and we really differed, because people who want to be able to pay for premium, they will pay a premium to get what they think is the best car, just the same as I don't necessarily want the top of the line, I'm happy to pay a bit less. I mean, it does sort of create that premium market. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's basic economics of the situation that they're being clever with how they sell it. So in terms of the update, yes, it comes out over the air and they'll be able to push out more features in the future. So it's exciting, and who knows where we'll end up.
Claire Riley, thank you so much. She is senior editor at CNET.